Welcome to the Tune In Game In Podcast. Game In Podcast. Tuning in to the gaming world of retro and modern. Retro and modern.
Tune In Game Podcast, this is episode 52. I'm joined by Gaz Lostwin. And with us again is good old Warren.
Hello, hello, and hello.
Yep, so everyone have a good week?
Yep.
Yep, I bought loads of video games. Loads.
Yeah, so, so for your tweets, Gaz.
Yeah, my local Blockbuster is closing down.
Okay, hey, okay. When you say Blockbuster, is it like Blockbuster here in America, or is that like a... Okay, so it is Blockbuster Video. Okay, I just want to make sure, because we had a conversation about that here in America, but they were saying something about, oh, it's different, and I was like, I don't think so, but go ahead.
No, well, they went into administration up here, Blockbuster did, my local shop, and then they came out of administration, and then the landlord wanted to revert, well, basically told them they had to revert back to their old rent, which is kind of harsh, really, because they can't afford the old rent. That's why they renegotiated. Just because you're out of administration doesn't mean you can suddenly afford loads of money, because that's not how it works.
Exactly.
Yeah. So they, unfortunately, the landlord has said, well, you're out of administration now. You should be able to afford what you used to pay. Struggling. So they've had to shut down. So they're selling everything off, and I've been everything is basically half price.
Yeah.
So I've been buying loads of stuff, but we'll talk about it later. Yeah. So yeah, it's been a good week. I bought loads of video games. I've been on eBay buying loads of stuff as well, and yeah, it's nice to be buying stuff again.
So, all right. Yeah.
Yep, so if we were to talk about a purchase later, because I purchased something which I'll mention later in the episode, but shall we get on to the first topic?
Yeah, what is the first topic?
First one, we talk about high prices for pre-owned games, because I recently read a news article, I'm pretty sure you read it too, Warren, about GameStop selling Xenoblade Chronicles on for the Nintendo Wii for like $80.
Yeah, that right there. I mean, even before they did that, since we're talking about this, this is actually 10 years worth of information, where on eBay, people who are selling things, they don't really know what they're selling, and then you have these people called price gougers who will put a game up for like, you know, oh, very rare, and what's that? There's this new term out, VGA. Or something like that on eBay, where it's VGA, so it's worth a lot of money. But with GameStop doing what they're doing, that I call it price gouging. Basically, I don't know if your article, I saw like three of those where they say basically they opened the brand new copies, then put them up for used, and then jack the price up. That is like wrong.
It is, yeah. I mean, I think some customers have reported that the copies they got seemed like brand new, and the Nintendo or Club Nintendo card hasn't been used, so it looks like it's being brand new, just opened up to make it look like it's being pre-owned.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, I don't get this VGA stuff. I don't understand why people do it, because all they're doing is basically, it's a grading system for games, and apparently it's for the authentication and preservation of video games. Well, that's just rubbish. It really is. I don't understand. I'm just looking on the VGA website now as what their grading skills are and things like that. Do people have to pay to get their stuff graded?
I don't know. I don't understand it.
I presume there's some fee to it. I presume anyway.
The VGA is the Video Game Authority. That's what the VGA stands for.
Ah, okay. Yes, I didn't even know what that meant.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Video Game Authority, and they grade games as to by different gradings. Let's have a look at the grading scales, because I've seen some on eBay, like 100% is gem, it's mint. 95 is 95 plus is mint, 95 is mint, then you've got near mint, then you've got mint, and then excellent, very good, all the way down to very poor. So they grade it from like 10 to 100, that's their grading.
Right.
The ones you want is a gold level, which is 85 plus. They're the gold level grading, they're the ones that are like mint or above. But again, I've seen these games go on eBay and people are asking like £300 for them just because they've been graded by the video game authority. It just sounds like a scam to me.
It is, yes.
Yeah, it what?
It's just an excuse to value the games even higher than they should be.
Well, I can guarantee, I've got sealed games, I can guarantee they're mint. Because at the end of the day, they're sealed. Why should they not be more, why should they not be 100%? If they're sealed, just because somebody's graded it, whatever it is, 95 on this VGA scale, doesn't suddenly mean it's worth 10 times its original amount.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's what these people are selling for on eBay, which is, I don't get it. I think it's an absolute scam. I'm just trying to find out if you have to get pay for their service. Contract information, I don't know. That's contact information, not contract. I'll have a look while we're chatting, but yeah.
Yeah, I understand like the checking the condition. I can understand that. So if it's in good condition, obviously I'd go for a little more than it would if it was in bad condition. But like determining the price of whether it should be like £50 or $50 more than it should be it's just wrong in my opinion. I mean, I can see why people do it, maybe like to see if they got mint copy. Of really rare games, just for it to keep in their collection, or maybe to show off an example of what games would have been like back in the day. But for most part, I don't really see the point.
I've just had a look, and you do have to pay. You have to pay for their service. A standard size game for anyone is cost you $70 to have the game rated. Ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, I never, you know, I've heard of ratings, but, okay, back in my day, well, I should say our days, you know, back in the, you know, 80s and 90s, you know, we had it's in decent condition. Decent meant you had the box and the book and the case was not messed up. Excellent condition mean, it's like you just bought it from the store, and you even still have the wrapping paper that goes around it, you know, the plastic wrap.
That seems, yep.
Yeah, the seal, you still have that around it. That's what we went by, you know, that's excellent condition. And now this rating system, I can't find that article, but I just read it, like, I think, was it last year, where this guy was basically printing out labels and making mint copies of, like, old games and then selling them, and people paying $400 or $500 for them. And this guy bought, like, three copies for, like, I think, like, $2,000 or whatever. And he went to go get it, I think, authenticated, and they said, no, that's not, it's not real, it's fake. Yeah. Even though it looked real, I mean, because I can do all that myself, but to think about how you're scamming people and it's not real, I mean, to me, it's not even about the money, it's more about, that's not even real, it's a reproduction, you know, and some people don't seem to understand that when people say that, it looks the same, like, no, it looks, but it's not.
I mean, I suppose in one way this video game authority are useful for things like that, because they have a panel of experts, according to their website, who will verify a game. So if they verify a game genuine, fine, that's a good service. But
yes,
rating a game and then charging people for that, I don't even know who these people think they are. Who are the video game authority? It just seems like a bit of a scam to me. Because they're charging people to rate their games, and then these people are obviously getting their games rated and selling them for a bigger amount of money. So, I don't know.
Me, I just stay away from them. I'm sorry. I mean, I'm not going to pay no more. I'm going to say this. I will pay no more than $250 for a game, and that's going to be like a Neo Geo game, because most of the games I like, you know, they're used between, you know, under $80, you know, but if I pay that, it'll be for like Shock Troopers, and that's when I have like the actual funds to afford that. But.
Yeah.
All this other stuff, somebody posted a Super Famicom It was supposed to be mint, but they opened the box, so it's not mint. But they wanted $1,200 and some change, and one of my friends actually posted it, and everybody's like laughing, like, really, really? I was like, well, maybe in 2025 it might be worth that, but like right now, no. So, you know, I don't go by those prices. I shop around, as you know, I talk to you guys, and, you know, since, you know, now I know that, you know, you guys know a lot of old games, my friend at EA, he's a big-time collector. And if I see something that I think I might want or I think is just crazy ludicrous, I'll say, hey, what's the price on this game? Because he has, like, three or four sites he runs checks on. He's like, yeah, don't get that. He'll, like, go to Guzex. They have it way cheaper than that, you know, or Cheap-Ass Gamer, which is actually pretty decent, but... this robbing people of, you know, the value of the game, and then people putting on eBay thinking, oh, this game is very rare. Like, I'm not sure if you ever guys ever watched this video. It was going around the internet. Well, we have this pawn shops, Storage Wars, where this guy found a Nintendo with the serial code 001, and he thought it was the first old Nintendo ever made.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I've heard about
it's
that.
Like, and see, it's things like that that think that. Yeah, it's things like that that the common person who's not really a video game player will see that and think, oh, they said that Nintendo was worth $15,000. Like, no. And I kind of laughed because I'm like, you really think somebody would store that game in a storage place like that, knowing what it was? Now, if it was in an attic or something, I can understand, but not in a storage place like that. Not something, you know, the first gen, unless it's been there for like over 15 years. But it's stuff like that that makes me a little upset, because the common person will see that, they'll run to their attic and, oh, I have Super Mario Brothers and it has 001 on it. Like, no, you know. So that's why I tell people, you know, don't get mad when you see that. Educate that person right there so they'll know that, you know, so they don't fall for any scams or try to scam someone, because, you know, me, I'm the kind of person where if you try to scam me once, I usually don't do business with you anymore. You know, no matter how good your deals are.
So. Yeah, I'm looking on eBay at the moment. Now, someone has got, this is an 80 rated, rated by the VGA, and it's for just the cart for ET on the Atari 2600.
And how much is it?
The buy it now price is £115.
Oh my god, serious people.
Ridiculous.
I've got a box copy for about a fiver, so...
Exactly, it's ridiculous. I'm just looking now. I mean, yes, it's probably in great condition, but just because it's not even boxed, it's just the cart. Just
because it's not...
Some so-called professional who, yes, probably knows... Oh, God, I'm just looking now.
Yeah, see, when you say stuff like that, the first thing I want to do is really, if I had the resources, and I do, but I don't have that kind of time to dedicate to a free site. I can build it and have it, you know, I have the storage for it, but I would love to just make a site saying, hey, this game goes for this amount and this amount, and just put a whole list. So, hey, if you see this game, this is how much it really goes for. If it has this with it, this is how much it goes for. So people will know that. I'm surprised we don't have a site like that right now for everyone to access, because eBay and all these other sites are getting out of hand. And I mean, I want Axelay, and yeah, the game is worth $60. I'm not gonna sit there and, you know, lie and say no, you know, no, it's not. But, you know, just the cartridge, you know, it's $35. But to see someone trying to sell that game for $95 to $125,
Yeah, it's just, no. I'm just looking. Yeah, Resident Evil 4, PAL copy, on the PlayStation. You can see it sealed in this lovely package that the VGA provided. Provide a package and a rating with a sticker on it. The game's sealed. And they've rated it for 85 plus, which is obviously, absolutely, a sealed game is mint. How can that not be?
Yeah, exactly.
How can that not be like a rating 100? It's sealed. I can see like the PlayStation like cellophane on it. How can that not be mint 100%? And they are selling that for £145 for Resident Evil 4, PlayStation 2. Anyway, don't.
That is stay away. That's just crazy. That's just crazy.
Now, if I do a Resident Evil 4 PS2 search sealed, let's see what I can find one for.
25.
There's one on here, starting bid of £1.64. Spot the difference, people. £144 or £1.64. So there is a difference of basically £143 just because this VGA clowns have rated it a mint condition.
Yeah, see.
But this one here, exactly the same condition, just because it's not in a lovely bag. Yeah, there's one here. Buy it now. £9.99 for Resident Evil 4 sealed on the PlayStation 2.
Yeah, me. See.
There's one here cheaper, £7.70. Free postage as well. Fantastic.
Yeah, see, and this is, you know, me, I just tell people, don't, that BJ mess, do not buy into it. As long as the game works, I'm good. You know, I collect not as much as I used to. I buy now just to play games. I don't really buy to collect anymore, you know, so, but this sealed thing is, BJ and sealed is getting a little out of hand.
Yes, I submit to the fact that, yes, a sealed game is worth slightly more than a game that's not sealed.
Yes.
You get this BJ thing. A sealed game is worth a little bit more than games. For example, I've got a sealed copy of Metal Gear on the original Xbox.
Uh-huh.
And that's probably worth a little bit more than an unsealed copy. Not much.
Oh, yeah.
And it's certainly not worth double. Not worth hundreds and hundreds of pounds, and I could quite easily send that to VGA, get it rated, whack it on eBay for a few hundred pounds, and you never know, maybe some idiot, and yes, I do say idiots, will buy it, because
anyone
who buys something like that is basically an idiot.
I'm just having a look on eBay as well, and I can see Super Mario Land 2 VGA graded at 95. Plus factory seal for the Game Boy from Australia. This is going for £5,000. Just because it's sealed and it's been great VGA graded. It's just,
yeah, exactly. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's.
I don't collect sealed games. I like to play my games. I have some sealed games and staying sealed for the time being, simply because I've not got around to playing them yet. Whether I will get around to playing them is another thing. But, don't know, I'm not out there to collect sealed games. I know some people do, and that's their prerogative, but, this VGA thing is not only did he do a VGA, he do a die-cast toy thing as well, a collectible doll rating system, so it's not just video games. If you want your game graded, I don't understand why this £7.70 copy of Resident Evil 3, sealed, and then you've got a VGA version for £145, just because it's in a little plastic case with a sticker on saying, oh yeah, we've rated it. Why is that? Why is there such a price difference? This service, and therefore they want to get their money back. So it is a scam. It really is.
Yep. Nah, that's how I look at it. That's how I was wondering, like, where, why, it's VGA rated. It's what? Like, no, I'm looking at it, and you have this, and this. It's not worth that much. I'm sorry. You know, I'll give it 25 for it, not 250. And then you don't even guarantee it works. So the VGA rating means nothing to me if it doesn't work.
Well, yeah, because it's sealed. It may, at the end of the day, it might have a problem with it. Just because it's a sealed game doesn't mean it's going to work.
Oh, yeah. If it's been sat in the sun, the one thing I learned when I worked at Blockbuster a long time ago, we had a UPS man who accidentally, he broke down or something, and he basically, we had a box full of DVDs that would not work for no reason. And eventually we asked him what happened. So, I broke down and I left the back door open, and so it got hot. And basically the heat heated up the DVDs, and they could not work. You know, that's those things that kind of, you know, when I used to go to mom and pop stores, and they'd have, I don't know if you're back over in the UK, but sometimes over here in the 90s, people used to put the actual game in the window of the store, and I'm like, you know, the sunlight is beaming in on that case, and that case is getting hot, right? And yeah, those games aren't going to work anymore. I'm not going to sell them anyway. I'm like, oh, well, as long as you know, okay, you know. So, yeah.
Yep, well, yes, it's.
There's a problem with the sealed games, well, once your battery's in, because the batteries eventually will die, and then they'll start leaking acid, and it'll damage the game inside, so, and then eventually you'll probably leak through the whole box, and then VGA rating's pointless, and if you've got a sealed game, because then You got to ruin.
Yeah, it depends if you're storing it correctly as well. Anything with a battery in should be stored in a cool, dry place, not in a place where it's heated or in any place that's damp. It's just standard procedure. So if you've got something rated by the VGA, it's got a battery in it, then keep it in a cool, dry place and keep it away from damp as well. And it's the same with anything. You should never store anything of value in heat or wet conditions.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Sealed, folks. Buy sealed, don't buy VGA sealed.
Correct. Standard, yes. Standard buy.
And I'm going to watch this sealed copy of Resident Evil 4, £7.70. Well, he's got 9 available, so, and that's the 6-day auction. I might just buy that. It's free postage, and I need a copy of Resident Evil 4 and a PlayStation 2 for my Resident Evil collection. So, yes, I think I'll purchase that next week. Excellent. So I'm glad I came across that. What were we talking about?
Yeah, we're talking about the Xenoblade Chronicles.
Oh, right, yeah. Overpriced
at $80. I think on eBay at the time it said about $90 on average for a copy, I believe. A used copy on eBay, and then it was just took off $10, and then even though it's a pre-owned game, or supposedly a pre-owned game, because before we know they might have just...
Is that the Wii game?
I can wait. I mean, I'm not interested in it, but I just wait that kind of stuff out. I'll let somebody else get it, or I'll just wait.
Well, it's certainly a future rarity, isn't it? I think that Xenoblade Chronicles. It's gonna go for stupid money in the future. It's gonna be a rarity, isn't it? One of them games that holds its value. Maybe not a rarity, but one of these games holds value. Maybe like a Final Fantasy does as well.
Yeah, I'm sure it will hold its value, but it seem really strange that all these probably sold out really quickly, and all of a sudden they got a whole new stock of pre-owned games just out of nowhere, and people started picking them up and collecting them while they're still affordable. So, I don't know, the theory is they may have stocked up on all the Xenoblade Chronicle games, sold a few, see how well it sold, and then see how well they sell on eBay, and then decide, right, we'll just sell them as pre-owned, so just open them up and just stack them on the shelves and see how quickly they fly off, because it's a popular game.
Well, when it first came out, it was not. When it came out, it was not popular at all, and that's the reason why it's kind of fishy.
That's the reason why now, it's because, the reason why it's so much now is because it wasn't popular on release, and that's what happened.
Yes, exactly.
That's why the price goes up.
Yep, and that's why I think somebody did that once before back in the 90s, and I was like, are you crazy? That game was only, $49? They're going to jack it up to $79. I'm like, no, I don't think so. Not me, sorry.
Yeah, no.
But do you think it's fair that GameStop are doing this, selling a rare game for whatever price it seem fit? I mean, instead of selling it for a lot, what normally used games would go for?
Yeah, I mean, that's not just GameStop, is it? I mean,
no, it's not.
If it's pre-owned, then they've obviously paid money for it. So they've got to make their money back. And they can't really reduce the price too much, otherwise they will lose money or break even. And that's what as a business, you don't want to break even on anything at all. And that's why the pre-owned market's quite fragile, because a company has to shell out money for a game, and then after a certain time, the value will start to come down. And then it gets to a point where they're going to lose money on a game. I mean, look at how many FIFA games or Pro Evo games, stupid Madden games that they churn out year after year after year, that people trade in just after they've released it and then pay too much for it, and then they've got to try and sell these on, and it's like they're not going
to
do it.
Yeah, and you just give it a year or two and it's next to nothing, so you can buy it for a pound or two or two, exactly, $3, yeah. So...
Like, like a FIFA game is the 2011 version. You can pick it up now for 99 pence pre-owned. So it's, yeah, I don't understand why these companies take in them kind of games anymore.
Yeah, somebody wants it, so they do it. That's why I always wanted the same thing too. I'm like, why do they buy that? The game is outdated. You know, exactly. People yeah. buy them anyway. Oh, so and so's on the roster. I want it. And, okay.
I think the problem is sometimes with the used game market when obviously the companies decide to buy, or the shops decide to buy certain games, but they don't really reduce the price too much. Obviously, they want to sell all the brand new copies, make more money. But then, is it? Would you rather go for something that was a few pounds less or a few dollars less, or would you go for the brand new copy?
Well, it depends. It depends. Yeah. It's mm-hmm. always a gamble, especially with a game that has an online pass.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because if you buy a pre-owned game for, say, a couple of dollars less, but the pass has been used, then it's going to cost you more than a new game just to buy the pass anyway. So,
yeah.
If it's on release and you want it on release, then you might as well buy new. Other than you wait until the money comes right down.
Yeah, that's my thing. Is that I don't know. I usually don't normally buy used. Every now and then I buy used, but now I buy brand new because on my Wii I've had a bad experience with used games, where the game will work maybe the first week, and after that it just stops working. Xbox, I probably bought maybe like 25% used games. But I usually buy brand new when I was big into Xbox. PlayStation 3, I think I've only bought 4 used games. Well, I shouldn't even say that. I bought Little Big Planet used, and I bought 3D Dot Heroes used, and those are the only ones I remember buying used. The rest were, iPad wasn't used. It was brand new, but I did buy it off eBay from Australia. So I bought that, and but I usually buy brand new if possible on Xbox and PS3. So, and on 3DS, I know they buy brand new also.
Cool.
Yeah, so there's a place for pre-owned games in the market, but it's just it's just a matter of pricing the games correctly and just try not to be too greedy when it comes to variable sorts after get games, because some companies and some people don't know the difference between a game that's rare and a game that's valuable.
Right.
Because Xenoblade Chronicles, you could argue it's rare, but I think it's more sought after than anything else, because a lot of collectors for the Wii or collectors of RPGs would be after that game if they didn't get it at launch.
Yep.
So, I mean, there are plenty of rare games out there that deserve to be valued so high, but other games, not so much.
Right.
Well, that's it. At the end of the day, it's games. Certain games will hold their value. Certain games will become rare simply because they weren't popular at launch. And then, obviously, there's not many. The numbers aren't out there, so obviously. The game has a limited release as well. That'll be obviously a pricey game in the future. So
yeah.
That's where the money.
Yeah.
So the best thing normally when looking for valuable games is just try and look for titles that seem like underdog games or games that you think might not do well, not many people will pick up. So those are the games to look out for. I mean the popular games like the Mario's and the Resident Evils, obviously they're going to be fairly sought after, so they'll be easy enough to sell.
Certain games are going to hold their value, so you like Final Fantasy games, your Resident Evil, say your Mario, your Zelda's, Shiny Force games, their games are going to hold their value regardless of whether they're rare or not, simply because they're good games. Good games hold their value. Then you got the rubbish games that nobody bought on launch because they were rubbish, and they're going to be valuable because there's not many copies left. Anyway.
So, any more points on pre-owned games or high prices for pre-owned games?
No.
Nope.
Okay. If Okay, well, next topic is add-ons / upgrades for consoles / handhelds. So before we talk about that, because it's been a while since there's been any real add-ons for consoles. I mean, obviously you've got add-ons and upgrades for PCs, but...
Well, I disagree. Because we saw an add-on for the Xbox 360. That was the HD DVD drive.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that, actually.
It was the last add-on we saw. It didn't do well, obviously, because Blu-ray won that. But, yeah, we have had add-ons. And, obviously, previously we've had add-ons, like, say, the Jaguar CD. That was an add-on for the original Jaguar. What else do we have? The Mega CD, 32X. They're kind of add-ons, aren't they?
Sega CD.
Yeah, Sega CD, yeah. I think it was the Famicom...
32X.
Yeah, is that, yeah.
He said
TurboGrafx,
Turbo CD, I think.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, basically, the add-ons were brought out when the transition from cart to CD came out, wasn't it? Sega CD, your Jaguar CD was an add-on for the Jaguar, which was cart. So, it was that kind of transition, wasn't it?
Yeah,
for the most part it was, yeah, but I think in the early days, ColecoVision had several add-ons, including one to play Atari 2600 games, and there's one for an add-on for driving games, and one to connect to an Adam PC back in the day. So, there are different add-ons throughout the ages, but apart from what you mentioned, you guys, the high definition DVD disc drive.
Well, we've got the Kinect. That was an add-on, wasn't it? That didn't come with the original Xbox 360. They made that afterwards.
Is it an add-on, or is it more of a controller or accessory?
No, well, it is an add-on. Accessory. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
There are Kinect-only games, aren't they, that you can't play without it? Kinect-only games. So essentially, you need that to play it, so it's an add-on.
But is it adding or taking away from the experience?
I'd rather use a controller.
I'm a controller person.
I'd rather use a controller.
Yeah, because I think that's the point about add-ons is to add experience to the gaming console of your choice.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you've got cameras. You had the Xbox Live Vision camera. You had the iToy camera. I class that as an add-on as well, because you needed that solely to play iToy games.
Yeah.
So, it's basically cameras. They were add-ons, I suppose, for the last generation and the current generation.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is it an add-on? Is it an accessory? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, would you count fans and accessories?
It's a fine line. I suppose it's a fine line, isn't it, between add-on and accessory?
Yeah.
Depends how good it is as well. I mean, let's face it, the Kinect is a wonderful piece of kit. Personally, obviously, with the new console coming out, we'll yet to see the best out of the Kinect. Hopefully it's going to be a bit better than the last one. And hopefully there's going to be some better games for it as well.
I mean, I have to pause
with my Kinect to get the achievement. And yeah, it's not good.
Ever since Sega had Activator, I'm going off on the side with this thing. I always wanted something like Kinect. I always wanted to have this quote-unquote disco ball thing that can pick up my head movement, track my eyes, my hands. So if I do Hadouken, I'm holding my hands out together, my wrists together, my hands like a fireball. But also playing basketball, which I wouldn't even know how to even get started. But I always wanted to teach my puppy, I think I already said that, how to play video games with the Activator, which if you are familiar with the Activator from Sega, it basically shoots beams up into your ceiling, and that's how it knows when you're pressing A, B, up, down, left, right. And it was more of a Frankenstein-type thing. But with the Kinect, let me take that back. With Project Natal, I was very impressed with the stage demo show, which was all fake. And when I saw what it could do and what it could do, I was going crazy. But once I finally got my hands on one and saw what it actually did, I was kind of let down a lot. So that's why I don't rant and rave about it too much. It's great technology, so don't take it in the wrong way. Great technology, great add-on. But if you have kids, it's awesome because you can let them play with it and sit with it for hours. But if you're a person that likes playing a controller, you'd be like, okay, disconnect, turn it off, give my controller back. And that's what I want to say about the Kinect. Now, if Kinect 2 comes out, well, I don't want to say anything because I don't even know what the Kinect 2 can do yet, really.
Enough of the new consoles yet.
Yeah, so I can't say anything on that. But I know I want to be a lot more better than Kinect 1. I will say this on the Milo thing and how we all kind of say it was kind of weird. Yes, I mean, think about it. Why would you want a kid living inside your console? Now, if that said programming was like Siri or Iris, you know, the Android version of Siri, where it was a dragon, kind of like Connectimals, where I can talk to it, like say, all right, I name my dragon because I love dragons, or a little werewolf, whatever. His name is Max. Okay, hey, Max, what is Gaz doing today? Well, it looks like he's playing blah, 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 Project Gotham Racing. Okay, what is Nick doing? He hasn't been online for like 2 days yet. You know, basically it's telling me by voice, I'm asking questions like how we're talking, not Xbox, what's Gaz doing? No, it's like Max, you know, or whatever I name it. It can, you know, it knows my voice and it learns my voice. You know, that's what I would like for Kinect to be. And, you know, to make me think that my Xbox is alive, like the original Xbox. When you saw that logo, you thought it was going to blow up in your face because it was bursting with power. Then the Xbox 360 came out, and now you can actually have chats like what we're doing now while you're playing your games. Now, in the third rendition, you think it would have a built-in, instead of using Bing, we would have a thing that welcomes us, granted all the bad news when I heard about the Xbox One and all the bad, so I don't even want to concentrate on that. But make it into something, a real new experience. This is not going to be a console. This should be, I don't know, I wouldn't even know how to put a name on it. Synergy or something, you know, where, you know, you don't just go here to play games. Yeah, you know, we use our systems to kind of watch DVDs and Netflix, you know, and music. And that's how it should kind of be portrayed. But with this extra feature with the Kinect 2, it should be a lot more, what's the word, conformed. Is that the right word? I don't think that's the right word. I'll just say more ease of use. I'll just say that.
Yeah, exactly. It should be a bit more polished.
Yeah, more polished. Thank you. Yes.
Talking about accessories and add-ons, have you heard of the Oculus virtual reality device?
Oculus Rift.
Did you see the version of Paperboy that they did for that? It was fantastic.
Which one?
Somebody did a version of Paperboy. Let's see.
No, I haven't seen that yet. I saw them do, what's that game everybody likes? With the doctor and stuff. Not Portal. Oh my gosh. The one with the flamethrower, the big guy, the doctor, the spy. That game. I saw that one.
Team Fortress?
Yeah, there you go. I'm sorry. I don't play that game. I played it once. Well, I actually played it like 5 times. But yeah, they did that. And basically people who were playing it, they were saying how when you're moving, it looks awesome. But when you're actually standing there, you go to look at your feet and you go, I don't have any feet and I'm too tall or I'm too short. So it's like, yes, that's what it feels like in real virtuality. You really feel, you can tell your perspective is in the game, you know. So well, I should have spread it. I should have shared it.
I'll send you a link in Skype. Hang on.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to say, if you can you talk while you're watching, I'm looking for it. I was going to say, so you saw it, describe it, like, how would you play Paperboy with that?
It's got the visor on, like a 3D visor, like I wore when I played that.
Okay.
Rally.
Uh-huh.
And then he sat on a bicycle, like a stationary bicycle.
Yes.
Pedaling away, and the bike, uh-huh, bicycle moving down the road, and then he's basically moving his arms, and he's throwing the papers to either side.
Oh, wow, finally.
Basically Paperboy, but
cool. Yeah,
I'm going to find the video to it.
Yeah, see, that's what I've always wanted from Nintendo, when they had an exercise bike. I never saw the exercise, like the thing you do with it, but I always thought, wow, if you could get a stationary bike, put it in front of a TV and be able to actually bike on that bike, That would be awesome. And the TV is actually in sync. Actually, they do virtual tours now like that, where people take bicycles and they record trails for people to do on the inside. And I was like, I never heard of that before. Like, wow. But
it's called Paper Dude VR.
Paper Dude VR, look at that.
That's my Skype going crazy on my laptop. It's getting the sound down. It's called Paper Dude VR. Search for that on there.
Oh, there we go. Let's do that.
Oculus Rift. It uses Oculus Rift plus Kinect plus Kick R. And yeah, it's kind of cool.
Oh, yeah, I'm seeing some pictures now.
Okay, yeah, I see it. The guy's on a bike.
Yep. And got Kinect with it as well. So, yeah, the Kinect is sensing his arm movements. And that's how he's doing that bit. So, yeah, they're using quite a few little bits. Yeah, cool.
Yeah,
Watch the video. It's kind of cool.
Wow, that is awesome.
It is, isn't it? Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love the graphics. Wow. That is so neat.
Yeah, so
listeners
out there, check out Paper Dude, all one word, VR. It's Oculus Rift Kinect, like virtual reality game. It's brilliant. It really is. Really cool.
Yeah, I see. Oh, my gosh. That is so awesome.
It's an homage to Paperboy. So they're using the Oculus Rift, a Kinect, and a fitness bike, and that's how they're playing it. And it basically is Paperboy, isn't it? Virtual reality Paperboy. It is spot on the way they've done it.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I've seen the other things that the Oculus Rift can do. It's basically, it looks cool. And especially now we've got Kinect, the way they're using Kinect with it as well for the arm movements to throw the papers. There's so much you can do now.
Yeah, I like that. Now, see, that's what I call the next level of gaming right there. And that's, for me, will be the next level back in 2010, 11. Hopefully, what's coming now, this year, next year. That's what I want right there. Perfect example. So, yeah, I like how they kept the graphics, you know, in bit, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that is crazy good. I like that.
Yeah, good to see what else they can do with that technology. I mean, obviously it's a little gimmicky, but it's done in the way which makes sense. Without swiping your arms to do certain actions, it's actually making sense.
I mean, you can see that the graphics are kind of like Minecraft blocks, isn't it? The way they've done it.
Yeah,
I was trying to avoid saying that, but yes.
Yeah, so that's how they've done it. It's like a Minecraft blocks. It's like a 3D. But it's really cool. I mean, people have got to check this out if you haven't checked it out already. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I think it's the best thing I've seen done with Oculus Rift so far.
Yeah, it is. It is the best, yes. And I want to see more. I want to see more stuff like that. That's what I want to see. Stuff like that, where it's actually using it, making the game the same game, but different experience. So, it's like, wow.
It's really cool.
Yes, it is. I was like, wow. I could not believe that. I was like saying, okay, I saw something that was similar to that, but not with Oculus Rift, but with VR glasses. And it was cool and all, but it wasn't, you know, it's like, it's just a game closer to your face, you know, where you can actually see yourself, like, going down like you would on a Nintendo or an arcade machine. But this one, you're actually there. So,
yeah.
I just look forward to that. The only thing I don't look forward to is when they start making games like Dead Space, which I would steer clear of, sure enough, you know. Because I don't like scary stuff like that. So, yeah, but that is awesome. That is crazy awesome.
Yeah, if you keep with this way, I mean, trying to think of any other things they could do, perhaps. I mean, they could perhaps do skateboarding, maybe, but all that. I mean, like,
you've got to remember that the thing that you're riding on has got to remain static.
Yeah.
You can't go off on a skateboard. And, yeah, it's got to be a static. because he did that. He had that the Tony Hawk shred. You had that
that skateboard, yeah.
Skateboard thing, and it was rubbish, wasn't it?
It was rubbish.
Yes, Tony Hawk could use it because he's a professional skater. He's pretty good at it. But your average gamer would absolutely fail at using it.
Exactly. That's why I say go play skate or die.
Yeah, that's why it didn't take off. Because you have to be a professional skater to actually use the skating board thing.
Yeah, exactly. I tried one on. I mean, cause I don't skateboard. Don't take me for wrong. Because when I was a kid, we used to skateboard, meaning, you know, we had a skateboard. We slide, you know, we just basically like land surfing. You know, put your foot down and you kick. And I can do, I think it was an Ollie Nelson where you can walk with it or whatever they call it, where you take it and walk with it. I can do that, but don't expect me to. Like saying, do you really think the kids are going to buy that and be able to do all those tricks? And the first thing I thought was lawsuits. Because I can see someone falling in their face in their living room and busting their face wide open, which I'm glad that did not happen. But the skateboard itself, the accessory looks awesome. But that's all I could say going for it. And I felt bad because it's like, if somebody wanted to really go skate, why would they play a video game? You know, I mean, you know, for us, we play Skate or Die. We'll play Skate. We'll play, my favorite is TNC Surf Designs. And that's what I play when I want to skate. You know, skateboard. But yeah, they really didn't do good testing on that. I mean, seriously, anybody in the office could have stopped that from being released. And especially for that price. The price was crazy.
Speaking of videos, I'm trying to find another one that I found was really cool. I'll find it in a minute, but yeah, carry on.
Yeah, so, but yeah, with this, with Oculus Rift, it does, you do need to be stationary to a point where you can't just walk off, like if you're playing Doom and stuff, you don't want to be unchained. That's why I now realize that's the reason why they have the thing around your waist, so you don't walk off and, you know, walk off the side and fall on your face. You really can't see where you're going. Yeah. You know, it's what you see on those glasses. Like, if you're in a room that's VR, and though you know you walked in at without the glasses, now when you play the game, there's a door there, and basically, you know, they'll pull it up, so when you walk through it and try and come back. But yeah, the Oculus Rift, with this, if people keep developing like this, it's going to change the way we play a lot of games. So
yeah, I can see a lot of on-mail shooters doing this. I mean, you can talk, sit down in a chair, or maybe stand up, and then say about shooting straight at the screen, you can turn around and shoot where the enemies are, like using like what the 3DS uses because he uses sort of type of virtual reality with the 3DS with
AR.
AR, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I love AR. Yeah, that's what I was trying to say when I said the wall. You see it, it's VR, but it's AR where you got little things on. So you walk in this room, it's all white, but it has all these little QR codes everywhere. And when you get glasses on, those QR codes put basically a paint map and texture the whole room, and now you're in a dungeon. And then some guy walks in, and he's not wearing an Oculus Rift, or he might be wearing Oculus Rift. And when you see him, he's a giant pig with a shotgun. You know, so you're playing Duke Nukem right now. You know, so. But we'll see. I mean, I thought Nintendo would do more with the 3DS with that, with more VR games, AR games, where you print a little Q-code, the card out, and then you can play it, you know. But yeah, this Oculus Rift Plus Kinect and Kick-R.
Yeah. Kick-R, I don't know. I assume the Kick-R is the bike. I have no idea. Yeah. Apparently in the bike while he's playing it, so that's how he obviously moves forward with it. So that's kind of cool as well.
Yeah.
He's using to create that, but yeah, that just shows you what the Kinect can do, along with used with other stuff as well. That
yeah, point. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So as long as it's used well, it should do well. But if it makes it too gimmicky, like it has with most games for the 360 with the Kinect, then it's not really going to go anywhere. But.
Yeah. See, me, I'm gonna say it like this. I know some people get mad. I say they're waggly on the Wii. If I can do it with my D-pad and one button, I really don't need any other controls. But with Paperboy, you know, you can play it with a controller. But the way how they put the innovative controls in it, oh, this is perfect. You know, There's no wiggle waggle or nothing about this. If you can speed, you know, pedal faster, then you go faster. Hey, if you throw faster, throw faster. You don't have limits. Like, I hate games that are motion based, but they have limits on how fast or how much strength your character has, but yet your stamina and strength is far more superior than what the digital version has. So I'm like, give me the freedom. I mean, I know they probably just add the part where he put his hand over his head and it followed him. They just put it in an extra. But if you can actually do that, that's even better, because I can like go, yeah, you know, and do my victory pose as I'm biking down the street. But yeah, that's going to be awesome. But I'm going to say, does anybody have a date on Oculus Rift coming out for retail yet? Because I know they...
From what I've heard, it's supposed to be released at the end of the year, and price-wise, supposed to, they're aiming to make this as affordable as possible, so no definite details as far as I can gather.
Oh, so it's supposed to be out this year, not next.
This year is what they're aiming for, so probably with the release of the Xbox One and PlayStation 4, they'll probably use both.
Another cool video I've just sent the link for, so have a look at that.
Oh, yeah, I saw this one. That was pretty neat. That was pretty, yeah.
I haven't seen this, Nick. What good. It's cool, it's that's the best thing I've seen Oculus Rift do, is the VR Paperboy doing whatever it's called. Fantastic. Yeah. If that's the kind of things that people can do with them, then definitely.
Yeah, because I was working on I was working on a 3D version of Donkey Kong, but for some reason my 3D program started glitching on me, so I was like, crap, I gotta put it back and wait. But yeah, this was neat. I like the one with Mario, too. Did you see that one?
The first Mario game? There's a Bomberman one as well, the first-person Bomberman one as well, which is really cool.
I didn't see that one yet, though. But yeah, I saw this one and I saw the other one. Yeah, it was pretty neat. I mean, I always wonder how would you play it in first person? As you know, because I forget. I think Battle Royale Shenan lets you the sky view, and we always wonder like, what if you can play a side scrolling game in first person? Like, it'll be kind of hard. You know, because now you have to measure that distance from your perspective. But, yeah. Yeah.
Anyway. Right then.
Just one final point about add-ons and upgrading. Just talk about the upgrading aspects.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about, weren't we? I never remember what we started talking about because we go off on tangents so much.
Yeah.
What's the best add-on? What do you consider the best add-on then?
Me? I'm going to Sega CD. Yeah, because the Sega CD kind of changed my life a little bit with FMV. I was, you know, because one, I was one of the few people who had it. And even though by today's standard it's very grainy, I still enjoy it. Grant, it's that little tiny, what was that, 240 by 480 square? But 3DO, some of those tiles will migrate over, so I got to see the, you know, quote-unquote HD or SD versions. But Sega CD changed. Once I played Sonic CD, I was blown away. And Final Fight CD, again... They use the technology the way it should have been used. I won't say every game used that technology, but they used it very well.
It's games like Night Trap and Snatch, wasn't it, where you see other videos, you're thinking, that's real people.
Yes,
It's
kind of weird, yeah. Yeah, yeah, it's like, wow, yeah, and see, Supreme Warrior, that's the game that actually made me go like, wow, it's real people, I'm hitting them plap in the face.
What was that famous shooting game?
Mad Dog McCree,
was it?
Mad Dog McCree, yeah. That one, you really had to have all the stuff to go with it. If you didn't have the guns, the game itself was kind of cruddy to play the crosshairs. You know, once you go from Super Nintendo, where you're used to using your controller, to using a zapper, you know, and because, you know, you go from using the zapper and then the crosshairs, you don't want to do that too much anymore. You want to use a gun, a light gun, you know. But yeah, the Sega CD was, you know, my favorite of all add-ons.
Cool.
I'd say one great add-on that I think sometimes gets overlooked is the Game Boy Player for the GameCube. Because because originally with the GameCube, you can just play the GameCube games, obviously, but with the Game Boy Player, you can play all Game Boy games from the original Game Boy up to Game Boy Advance.
Oh, really? I did not know that.
And on your TV as well, so if you don't want to crouch over and look at the tiny little screen, you can actually stick the game in, use a controller, and just sit back and watch it on the big screen.
Oh, wow, I did not know that. I have a
Super Game Boy?
Super Color Game Boy? I forgot the name of the thing already. But yeah, I have that, and I just realized it plays all the black GBA games. Cartridges?
Yep.
I looked it up and saw that. I'm like, well, I didn't know that. I could have been playing GBA games. So, yeah. But I will say, the one accessory I always wanted, and I think I cried myself to sleep for like 3 or 4 nights, and back then, was I really wanted the Work Boy, which I don't even think was ever released. I know my Toys R Us had it on display, and I think at the time it was like $79 or something, and I couldn't afford it. And then when I finally got the money to go, like, oh, we don't have it anymore, and I was like, you just had it last month. Where is it? And no one knew what I was talking about. And I finally found it some years later, the Work Boy. And I don't think anyone, I mean, I don't know if anybody has it, but I always wanted one. I'll say that. So that was my most wanted accessory.
You reckon, Nick, what's been the best add-on apart from, oh, you said the GameCube player. I reckon, what I really like is to get the TV.
The which one?
TV tuner for the Game Gear.
I remember that. I wanted one of those.
They're now redundant, obviously, now, because of the
digital switch over in the UK.
People can actually play your Xbox off them, can't you, now, or your PlayStation with a lead, so.
Yeah, with a little mod you can, yes. So
you can. Yes, you can. Mm-hmm.
I mean, a bit pointless to do, but it's
it's just a little bit of fun, isn't it?
Yeah, because I used to
get some cool add-ons.
Yeah, because I used to play my Atari and my old Nintendo when we had VHF and UHF. I used to actually have a Sony Watchman, the little black and white, tiny little 2.3-inch or 2.5-inch screen TV. As a play on that, just because I could. The screen looked great, though. So, but remember, they also had one for the Turbo Express, which is a handheld that I want also. They had a TV tuner for that, too.
Yeah, I'd probably say my other favorite would be the Sega Mega CD attachments.
Yeah, I think that's
going to
be the biggest thing, isn't it?
Yeah, because you can play all audio CDs, and you can play current ones as well.
Yeah.
And you got access to all these games. Granted, most of them weren't too good, but there are parts of gems on the Sega CD, so if you know which ones to pick up, then you've got a fairly good system to go along mm-hmm. with your Mega Drive or Genesis.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like right now, instead of having a Sega CD, I need to get another Sega CD. I have a Sega CDX, so. But it doesn't play Jurassic Park or Willy Beamish. The two games I wanted.
Sega CDX, that is the... What, is that the same thing as Multimega over here?
Oh, no.
Is it the same thing? Is it the little thing? It's the CD and the Mega Drive?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Okay, yeah, yes, exactly, yeah. It's a portable, you can actually use it as a portable CD player. You'll look kind of crazy walking out.
Yeah, I've got one there. It's called the Multimega over here. So it's called the CDX over there, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it's a nice little system. I like it. You know, it works. But I need to take a CD again.
Yeah, I think the best model would be the first one for the Mega CD or Sega CD. Because I originally had the model 2, the one that attaches on the side.
Yeah, I had that one too, the first one, the original, yeah. But yeah. I like your Mega CD was better. I like that where it puts it right on top of it. It looks like it's from the future.
Yeah, but much prefers the first model one because it's slightly easier to break because the other one where you press down to open the disc. I mean, when I got that, I couldn't get it to work, so I had to trade that back in, and then eventually got the original model.
Right.
So, yeah. Any other honourable mentions?
Let's see. This is not honorable mentions, but I can't remember the name of it, but that one thing that allows you to connect it up to your Game Boy so you can see at night with the magnifying glass and the lights.
I know what you mean. I think it's for certain games, so you can use it to power up the character or power up something in the game.
No. This is an accessory that it's like a magnifying glass with lights so you can play with your Game Boy at night. That thing.
I think I know what you're on about. It's the Handy Boy, is it?
Yes, Handy Boy. Yeah. I've always wanted one of those until I actually got my hands on one. I don't know how you could use that without it hurting your eyes. the lights were too bright, and if it reflected it, it hurt your eyes. Granted, my friend, he loved it, so I was like, that's okay. I won't play at night.
Yeah. I think there were a couple ones because Handy Boys makes you look a little mini arcades.
Yeah.
Tabletop arcade and of accessories so you can magnify the screen or add some light to the screen. So there were loads of accessories released for the original Game Boy back in the day.
Yeah.
So what are we talking about now? Should
we go on to what we've been watching recently?
Watching. Go on.
I'll start first because I haven't really been watching much, unfortunately. Watched Finding Nemo again. Still a great film. Been watching the first three Harry Potter films.
Okay.
Because did start a marathon, but didn't get too far in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have you seen every single one?
Yeah, I've seen every single one. Nope. I haven't seen the last one.
Deathly Hallows Part 2.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one yet. Yeah.
Okay, I mean, obviously I can spot problems because I'm a fan of Harry Potter and I've read the books.
So. Oh, yeah, Harry Potter's cool. Yeah.
Yeah,
cool.
But I've spotted, like, mistakes in the movie, like the fact that even though they're not allowed to use magic outside of Hogwarts as students, they still use magic outside and in certain points in the movie, so it just... The movies do contradict the law of Harry Potter sometimes.
It's not a law. They're not allowed to. They do. They're not prevented from using magic.
Well, technically, it's explained in the book. It's a law. And the fifth movie expands on it when Harry's actually summoned to the Ministry to face a trial for using magic outside of Hogwarts or underage magic.
Oh yeah, no, his Patronus spell to ward off the Dementors.
If you go back to the prison of Azkaban, sorry to go off on a little tangent here, but in the first scene you see Harry practicing a spell, Lumos Maximus.
In
his bedroom, and if he's not allowed to use magic, why is he practicing magic? It makes no sense whatsoever. That.
Okay, I think you're just nitpicking there, but go on, carry on.
I'm nitpicking. I'm just pointing out a fact.
I like to move to the next point.
Yeah, go on, carry on.
In the second one, Hermione uses. The spell to repair Harry's glasses.
Yeah, but she's on the train. And surely the train.
That's the first one you're thinking of. It's in the second when they're in Diagon Alley.
Yeah, but Diagon Alley, that's a magical place.
Magical place. So you can argue that when Harry does it at the Dursleys at number 4 Privet Drive, where it's surrounded by Muggles, non-magic folk. Then it just baffles me that it wasn't punished for practicing magic.
Okay, right, go on.
Yeah.
All you can't is Harry Potter. It wouldn't be much of a film if Harry Potter got punished and sent to like.
Yes, right.
Anyway, carry on.
No, it wouldn't be much of a film. We didn't have to like show him doing magic. Just skip to when he goes to Hogwarts because that's where he is allowed to use magic.
Well, I guess it's showing. Also, you have to keep in mind when she wrote this, she's thinking like a mother and a child at the same time. Sometimes you will break the rules, whether it's cost something or not. So that's how I look at some of that stuff, where it's like you're not supposed to be doing that, but is it hurting anybody to do it? Nope. Okay. So it all depends, I guess, perspective, I guess.
Yeah, well, it's just if I know the law of Harry Potter, or just like certain rules. About how the universe of Harry Potter works.
Right. No, I understand.
I mean, I don't want to be nitpicky, but when I can see an obvious mistake there, I just have to point it out.
But every movie has mistakes, we all know that.
Yeah. I mean, there's a bigger mistake in The Half-Blood Prince.
Oh, yeah. I'm not a mistake, because I think they're quite cool, so.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, as long as it doesn't bother me, I'm all good. I mean, Jurassic Park, my favorite movie, has a load of mistakes. And half of them I didn't even catch until it was pointed out. Like, oh, it is right. But yeah, I still love the movie, so.
In a movie, you will not notice a mistake until somebody actually points it out to you.
Some movies, especially I can.
From his eagle eye.
Yeah, he was just drinking that soda, and he put it on that table, and now this soda can is gone. Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So other than that, that's pretty much all I've been watching, really.
Nope.
Yeah, but don't get me started on particularly seeing The Half-Blood Prince.
No, we're not going to bother. So we're not going to finish Harry Potter now. Don't spoil it for the viewers. Who have not seen it.
Harry Potter!
Anyway.
Yes.
What have I been watching? Sherlock Holmes, the films, the movies. Been watching that.
Yeah, I've seen the first one, I haven't seen the second one yet.
Yeah, my missus bought them yesterday from Blockbuster, who were going bust, so they were quite cheap, obviously.
What do you think?
Yeah, they're cool. Decent films. The best version of Sherlock Holmes that I've seen recently is Elementary. Love that show. If anyone's seen that, the one with Johnny Lee Miller, an Englishman in New York, and Watson is played by Lucy Liu.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, it's really cool. It should be. I don't know if it's on Netflix or not. I don't think it is. Elementary, it's called. Yeah, it's really, really cool. It's based in New York. Yeah, it's a very good modern-day take on the Sherlock Holmes story. Really good. Uh-huh. Season one has been done. I think I'm doing season two. So that's what I'm waiting for with that. What else have I been watching? Oh, that's what I just watched on Netflix as well. Orange is the New Black.
Oh, yes. That is awesome.
That is fantastic. I've just watched the first series of that, which is 13 episodes. I can't wait for the next one. It is fantastic.
Yeah. Yes, really. I love it.
I don't think it's on UK Netflix, but I know it's on US Netflix, which I get. So, yeah, it's cool. If anyone's not seen it, it's a Netflix show, isn't it, as well? So actually, it might be on UK Netflix, because it is a Netflix show. So
yeah,
it's cool. I highly recommend that one.
Mm-hmm.
I've been watching. I'm not entirely sure. But I don't know. Went to the cinema a few weeks ago. We saw Despicable Me, the first one, for the kids. And then we saw Wreck-It Ralph again.
Hmm.
It's cool, because we get free cinema tickets during the summer from the radio station we listen to. They give away free cinema tickets, which is cool. So we go to the kids every Saturday to watch a movie. We're going next week. I don't know what the film is next week. But yeah, I don't know what else I've been watching. But yeah, Orange is New Black, fantastic.
Yes, awesome. It is awesome.
So, next.
All right. Well, me, I guess. Well, actually, I've been on and off watching what you recommended me to watch the last one. I always forget the name of it because I watch it like marathon, Supernatural. And yeah, you were right. I mean, the werewolf episode, I actually love that. Actually, I watched, it's like at least four or five episodes that I love. I will say it did start getting a little dry when they went to that prison thing. And like right now, I forget what episode I'm on right now. I'm on that. Well, I don't want to ruin anything for people, but I've got to the part where they found that certain person they're looking for, and they made the deal. I've watched that, and that one girl that does the worshiping, I'm past that. And it's pretty good. I like it. It's pretty good. I mean, I really think those two guys are a tad.
Still on season one?
Yes, I'm still on. I think I'm on season one. I watched it in marathon, so as soon as it's over, I would just jump to the next one. I think I'm on season one. I think I'm on season two, actually. I'm not sure. I like it. I'm getting, like I said, I'll start watching because of werewolves, but I like how they're like, they're not witch hunters, but they hunt. They're like Brothers Grimm, but a little better and real. They're not fake. But yeah, I like that. It's pretty good. And I haven't really been watching much of anything else. I put on like cartoons while I'm working, Family Guy and, what's the black dude's name? I forget his name. Cleveland, I'm sorry. I watched the Cleveland show. Yeah, Cleveland. I'm like, what is his name? But Cleveland, I watched that show. And that's really about it. Last week, I watched a movie called The Quiet Earth. Where basically some science experiment went wrong, and these three people, I don't want to ruin it too much, but these people meet each other, because they think they're the only people left on the earth, and they kind of have this talk, and, they just live life, hey, we can do this, we can do that, and, it's pretty interesting. It's not for kids, it's not really an adult movie, but they do have, like, some nudity into it, because one of my other friends, he posted on his friend's thing, and I said, let me look this movie up and see if I can find it. And sure enough, there it was, and I watched it. And that's really it. Besides Eraser, that's the one where the guy actually gets a job, I forget, in another part of the country. I'm not sure if it's the UK or where, but eventually something happens where his office is moved, and basically his life itself starts falling apart because what he thought he knew was not real. Well, it was real, but I'll stop there because if I say too much, then it ruins it. But it was different. I'll say that it's on Netflix also. It's called Eraser. I thought it was that Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. That's what I thought it was. Yeah. So I was like, I think I already saw that, but no. This is a totally different movie.
What's the other thing you just been watching? What's it called? Before Which Eraser.
One? It's called The Quiet Earth.
That's on Netflix, is it?
Actually, it was on YouTube. I found it on YouTube. Yeah, because they have movies. For some reason, they have movies on YouTube, and they don't charge for them, but then some of the other ones they charge for. And I was like, because they have, like, a lot of Jackie Chan movies on there that are uploaded by YouTube or whoever does the YouTube thing, and they're free.
It's an old movie.
Yeah, it's very old. It's like 1980s. Yeah. Yeah, it's very interesting. It's not like a super exciting movie. It's one of those movies you kind of relax into, a reality of like, hey, if you're the last person on Earth, what would you do? Not, oh, I go break all the windows out of a store or whatever. It's not like that.
New Zealand.
Yeah, New Zealand. There it is. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Full movie on YouTube. Oh, yeah. I'll have to have a look at it.
Yeah, okay. So it's something to watch. Mm-hmm.
I'll just remember something else. I've watched some other wait for you to finish one.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm done. That was it.
Just see, maybe before I mention, it's free and available on YouTube as well. It's called Ashens and the Quest for the Game Child.
A link for that?
I can get you one. Just one moment. Sorry. Basically, it's from the YouTuber Ashens reviews tat he gets from places like Poundland and stuff he gets sent. And basically, it's like a full feature length film, which includes a couple of celebrity cameos as well.
Oh, really?
And a few other YouTubers and internet celebs.
Here we go.
So I'll just copy the link over. It's free to watch as well, and also there's a DVD of it coming out as well. So basically, I think Monty Python and the Holy Grail meets Indiana Jones meets some YouTuber.
Oh, okay.
So I'll
support the Indiana Jones trilogy on VHS.
Have you watched the fourth movie?
You might as well just. That's like the bloody Star Wars prequels. It's rubbish. I'm a bit wary of Star Wars 7. I hope it's good.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch it regardless. I mean, I'm a Star Wars fan, but I'm not a Star Wars buff person where it's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna watch it. You know, because, I mean, I enjoyed it for what it was. I'm a Last Starfighter, so, you know, I love Last Starfighter a little bit more, you know, so. But Star Wars, it was a great movie. The prequels, whatever they were, they made their money off of it. I mean, I know.
Don't throw rocks at me.
I like Jar Jar Binks. I thought he was an addition to the movie that was not needed, but he brought some humor, you know. So, granted, I did miss the originality of, like, the original one that was released back in the 70s with what's that band that Jabba the Hutt had. I really want to hear more of that kind of music, and they did not have it. So I know that sounds like Warren, that has nothing to do with the story, but those are the things I like. When I first watched Star Wars, when it first came out on, I think, TV or whatever, I really never watched the movie until I was actually, when they re-released the prequels, because I was always looking in the background and looking, when he got his arm chopped off in that cantina, in the bar, I was always looking at the aliens because I wanted to see how many different aliens that were stuffed into that one scene. So I never really, you know, once Yoda came on, like, oh, look at the little green man, you know, and that was really it. You know, he made on his head, and oh, there's that big bad black guy, and actually he scared me half to death as a kid. You know, I was frozen with fright with a nightmare one night, but that's the stuff I look, you know, love watching it for. But the new ones, I mean, yeah, it has great graphics and everything, but.
Yeah, it just makes you dubious for the new one, doesn't it?
Yeah.
We'll see where the story goes.
As far as I know, George Lucas hasn't got any direct control over the new Star Wars films, so.
It's not a prequel, is it? It's a sequel.
Sequel.
Yeah, so it's good.
I want to see all the original cast.
I get. Oh, they are. Yeah, they are. They're probably the original cast.
That immediately. Screams fantastic for me. He's got Luke and Han and Leia and Chewie and
Well, I'm gonna say this. You know how Disney can do stuff to latch over. They might get sucked into a black hole, and next thing you know, you got three or four different. You got Prince Alaban and Princess Cheshwa and who are those people? Who is Princess Leia? Black hole.
Okay, so. Next week's free movie is Rise of the Guardians. Well, I haven't seen that one, so that'll be cool.
Oh, yeah, that's a great movie. I've waited like 7 years, and finally it came out. I missed it. My friend went and saw it. He's like, oh, you gotta see that movie. I'm like, yeah, I know. Cool. I waited 7 years for that movie. It was in a 3 magazine.
Next week's free movie, and then the last one is Finding Nemo. So we've got two Saturday mornings. We've got three other ones. We haven't been for a couple of weeks because the kids have been away, so...
Right. So.
Anyway, what were we talking about?
What were
we watching? Yeah.
Yeah. I just went on that. So I guess Nick and the next thing.
Yeah. Next thing. Games we've been playing recently. So.
I don't know. A lot. I don't know. I've bought a lot. To tell people what I've been buying. Well, as I said, my local Blockbuster is closing down, so there's lots of cheap. I picked up Resident Evil 6 for £5.
Mm-hmm.
Brand new. Ridge Racer, Unbounded, £5.
Which Ridge Racer? Which one?
Unbounded.
Unbound. Okay.
New one. I found another game as well. It was £1.50. I can't remember what it was called now. It's not that memorable. Oh, I did pick up Final Fantasy 14 on PC.
Okay.
£1.50.
Wow.
Fantastic. A great addition to the collection. Because that was the only Final Fantasy game I've been missing from the collection. Oh, apart from Final Fantasy 11, I've still got to get a copy of that. But yeah, I've been buying Resident Evil games as well. I've had a game to you about as well. I've been playing Resident Evil 4.
Mm-hmm.
Which is cool. Ace Golf, I've been playing that as well. I haven't really gamed much this week, to be brutally honest, because the kids haven't been home, so I've basically just been chilling out, reading books, watching TV. I've literally gamed for about 5 hours this week, according to Raptor, which is so 5 hours for me is unbelievable. But yeah, I've been reading books. I've read To Kill a Mockingbird again, which is good. And I've read a book which is called Gone by Michael, what's his name? It's basically a post, I don't know, it's kind of weird, it's like a post-apocalyptic kind of event happens where a nuclear power station in this little town in California creates this something weird, and there's a barrier around this town, and anyone 15 and over disappears. So it's basically children have to fend for themselves. It's a kind of cool book, so I've just bought the second one from Amazon, so I'm going to read that pretty soon.
Oh wow. Then, yeah, you're going to love The Quiet Earth then. You're going
to
like that.
It's called Gone. I'm trying to think who it's written by. I've got it here. It's by Michael Grant. I think it's kind of aimed at like a teenage audience, because it's judging by the cover, it's actually in. I found the sequel in a bookshop, and it's actually in like the teenage section, the young adult section.
Yeah.
But it's a fascinating book. It's really, really well written. Really cool. And the characters are really cool as well. And the characters, after this event, some of them gain special powers as well.
Uh-huh.
So it's cool. And then you've got like a divide, and it's like a war going on. It's really, yeah. That's a good book. It's kind of aimed at like a young adult audience, but I missed it, and I picked it up and I read it, and yeah, I bought the second one because I bought the first one. It's 5 in the series. So.
Oh, okay.
I think that's it, really. I don't know if anyone. That's pretty much what I've been playing and reading and watching and anything else. I've had the soccer is back on. The season's just started again, so I've been watching a lot of that this weekend. Anyway, that's me.
Okay, I think I'll just go quickly through what I've been playing. Been playing Animal Crossing still, so still developing my town and building up certain things and still learning a few new tricks as I go along. So it's still loads of fun. I mean, don't play for like hours on end, but I play like for half an hour or maybe an hour at most, or maybe just like it down for a bit and then go back to it a bit later, so.
Yeah.
It's a type of game you don't have to put much effort in to just put as much effort as you want, and.
Oh, sorry. I just remembered the other game before. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. I'll just go quickly with what I've done. I've also been playing a bit more Poker Knights 2. I've also bought it for the Xbox 360.
Uh-huh.
So, and with the 360 version, as you play the game, you can get to unlock avatar awards and also bonus content for other games, such as Borderlands 2.
Okay.
So that's pretty cool. So I'm aiming to get all the bonus stuff, so encourage me to pick up Borderlands 2 at some point to play that.
Yeah, play it, because I've got it. I haven't played much of it yet, so it's using co-op.
Yeah, I probably will pick it up at some point. But just, through Poker Knights 2, I'll get to unlock all.
Yeah, I'm in no rush to play it either. So I mean, whenever, that's absolutely fine. I've got Borderlands 2,
okay.
So Yeah, I've played it a little bit, but not much, so...
Okay, do you think it's worth skipping over the first one, or playing through the first one?
Yeah, I've played the first one. I haven't finished it yet.
Okay. So, I'm trying to think what else. I'm sure I played something else. On the iPhone, I've been playing Banana Kong a little bit.
How do you like it?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, it's one of those endless runner games where you just run as long as you can. So, I mean, it's a bit slow to start off with because you have to collect a certain number of bananas to spend it in stores to get power-ups and special equipment to help you go further in the game.
Right.
So basically you've got to play it constantly to get all the good upgrades. It's a lot of fun to play it for 5 minutes at a time.
Uh-huh.
And also been playing a bit more of State of Decay.
Oh, yeah. Any good?
Yes, yeah, pretty good. I mean, discussed it last week, but generally there are a couple of problems with it, such as the fact weapons break quite easily, unless you get like, certain weapons, which last quite a while, and then there's a few little issues, because there's one which I went on, I brought someone along with me, and then went on a mission to clear out this house of zombies, and then I looked around and realised that my companion who I brought with me wasn't there, and he just disappeared, and so I was all these zombies. I was lucky not to have lost that character, so I had to abandon that mission.
Wow.
And it said above where it gives you like information on how characters are doing or how your camp is doing, and it said the character who brought with me, Jacob, said Jacob is sad.
He's
sad. I only died because he just decided to disappear when I was taking on all these zombies but myself and nearly dying.
Wow, that's crazy.
And I was down to my last two bullets, so I was lucky to get out of there, find a car and get back to base.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd have been awful upset if that would happen to me.
Yeah. But my character survived, and even though it was a bit of a wasted trip, both my characters stacked up a bit, taking on loads of zombies. I'm often tempted to call them walkers, but the strange thing is they don't walk, some of them, most of them run.
Right.
And, I mean, if you had online as well, it'd be a great little add-on so you can join your friends in a struggle to survive or so. A mission that would be hard for yourself to take on, maybe join up with a person, but obviously they don't offer that in the game. But so apart from a few little problems, it's still a great game, and at least try a demo, which is like a half an hour, an hour's trial of the game. So it's definitely worth trying at least, see if it's your thing. I mean, once you get into it, it takes a few couple of playthroughs to get used to it. Used to how the game works, how about getting supplies and keeping morale high and everything, and just like building bases and stuff. Once you get the hang of it, it's a pretty fun game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's all been playing, so what else did you buy, Gaz?
Oh, Front Mission Evolved, the Xbox.
Okay.
It's £1.50, so can't argue with that.
Nope.
So, but the club is shutting down on Thursday, so I'm going to pop in on Thursday and see if there's any real last-minute bargains. What they do have in there, which I'm going to see if I can bag off them, is an Xbox display stand, you know, with a TV and, you know, Xbox and controllers, big stand in there, so I want to see what they're doing with that, if it's still there when I come in. That'll look really cool.
Yeah, I'm sure we can work out a deal with it. I mean, if it's about to go anyway, so...
Don't that's it. Yeah. They're going to just chuck it out. I'd rather just give it a good home.
Yeah,
so what I've been playing is basically the same old thing. A little bit of Mass Effect 3. I finally made it halfway. I found a few new things. Of course, on 3DS, I'm still playing Animal Crossing New Leaf. And for some reason, last week, we couldn't connect. Nick?
Oh yes. That's right. Get more and see if we can get to work.
Yeah, so. But I forget. Something major. Oh, yeah. They just had a fireworks display show in that game. So I did that. My house also got upgraded twice now, so I'm great on that, doing good. I haven't been playing anything on PS3 at all. On iPad, I've only been playing Word with Friends, which, you know, everybody plays that, and Jurassic Park Builder, and old Nintendo, I actually was trying to get back into DuckTales, the original, because I actually had bought it last year sometime. And just got around. I was trying to play it like 2 months ago before they actually released the new one. Actually, I think I was trying to play it before they even announced it. And I played that a little bit. That game is, you know, still a little hard because for some reason my top-loading Nintendo, it has issues. So I don't know what's going on with it. So I think I need to have it, like, cleaned a little bit better or something. Because every now and then I have, like, noise on the screen where, you know, if I walk over a certain pixel, it turns black or some random symbol. You know, not all the time, but, you know, once in a so-so. It didn't do that on, what was that game I played? Teenage Mutant Turtles. It did it just fine on that one. But for some reason on, Bionic Commando, it did it. And on the first time I played DuckTales, it did it. But it works just fine now. And I think that's really it. I haven't been playing anything. I mean, I've been working on stuff on my Wii. But that's in Flash and not really a game.
I did try and do it on my Wii U, but couldn't do it through the Wii interface, and obviously it wasn't working with the Wii U, so I'll have to try and test it on the Wii Fit, the actual Wii console at some point, see if we can get it to work for that.
Oh yeah, if you would, yes. Thank you for letting me know. And I actually emailed, like, okay, did he try it? And I forgot, though. Like I said, I worked on it and then I just stopped, you know, because I'm probably not going to go ahead and do it in HTML. 5, and see if I can make it smaller, because right now it's 6 megabytes, and that's kind of big, you know. So, but thank you.
Definitely try and do this better this week for you at some point if you can. So, you might just have to pester me to remind me.
Yeah, it's no biggie. I just want to see if it would work, because I forgot that the Wii U had the emulator inside of it, but I don't get the internet channel, which I don't think. Do you have the internet channel? I don't think you do inside of the emulator on the Wii U.
I don't know, but I couldn't find anywhere. That's okay. That's the first thing I look for on.
Okay.
I mean, you can still download games on the emulation of the Wii on the Wii U.
Right. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
And obviously, I tried it on the Wii U, but obviously it wasn't working. So,
right. It's all good. Now I know, so it's all good.
Yeah, but I've tested it on the web on my laptop, and it works fine there.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome. So, any highlights of the week to talk about?
Well, for me, today is Sunday, Breaking Bad. So, that's my highlight for now. So, you know. I mean, there's other highlights, but that's the one I look forward to for right now.
Nope.
Yeah.
Just one highlight I can think of for me. That's the new handheld console I got this week, and that's the 3DS XL.
Oh, you got one?
Yeah.
You tell me.
Yeah, I've been meaning to get one for a while, and I've just been waiting to get it for a good price. Cause I did see it for a good price at some point, but I thought, wait, and then it obviously went up. The prices went up, and then, when I went to town yesterday, I was lucky enough to go in store and find it for a good price. So it included the 3DS XL, Mario Kart 7 included on the shop, pre-installed, and also, a free virtual console game to download.
Oh, okay.
So I got a good deal on it, so I was really happy, and the screen's much bigger. You can really tell the difference. So playing Animal Crossing on that sphere feels really good.
Oh wow! Yeah, cause I know. Yeah, I remember you did say you were looking for one. Cause I think I tried to recommend you to go to the Nintendo website to look for one. So, what color did you get?
The white one. I would have liked to have gone with the limited edition for Fire Emblem one, but that was a bit too pricey for me. It was like £220, is like $250 plus. So I thought it was a bit much for that. So it's got the Mario Kart 7 one, which is a lot cheaper. So.
Oh, okay. That's nice. Yeah, I was just looking to get one, but I don't know the process for transferring my data over to it. You know.
Yeah, I managed to do that, but there's been a couple of problems with that because I haven't been able to transfer, but it's not all the titles went across for some reason, so I'll have to re-download once they come available.
Oh. Okay.
So there's a couple of problems there, but for the most part, all things have gone across, some data for more. The street pass has transferred over, right, and most important data on there anyway, and I've still was able to re-download Mario Kart 7 onto it, so I'm glad I didn't waste the game there, because I thought I did at first, but I managed to re-download it, so that was a relief.
Yeah, that's good.
Yep, so I think it's just a case of just making a couple of updates to it, so and it'll be up and running with most of the games I had on the 3DS, my original 3DS, but most of them were demos anyway, so I'm not too bothered about, just either the games I've either paid for or got through the administrator program.
Oh, okay.
But that's pretty much my highlight of the week, so...
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was a good episode, guys.
Yes, it was. Yes.
Cool. Yeah, about the average sort of length, but good one, I think.
Yes, I am. I am. Well, I don't know what I'm doing now. I think I might go and watch. What's the latest last Batman movie?
Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, that's the movie. So I might go and watch that.
Yeah, good movie.
Yeah, I have to go and watch that.
Okay, so, let us know what you think next episode.
Yeah, I'll watch it at some point this week. I don't watch it today. So I am just going to go and look on eBay for a few items. I'm watching loads of stuff as usual.
Sounds good.
So, yeah, I'm collecting Fighting Fantasy books at the moment as well. So I'm going to try and get a full set of them.
How many for a full set?
There is 59 of the original books. I currently own around, I think, half of them. The later books go for quite a lot of money.
Mm. Well, I mean, that is not to extend this conversation. Did y'all hear about that kid who made some die cuts of the Final Fantasy characters and were getting them printed out by 3D, and then Square Enix shut him down?
Yeah, the 3D printer ones. They were really cool.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah.
Really, really cool. But, yeah. I mean, it depends what he was doing with them. If he did it for his own collection, then fair enough. But if he's selling them, then, yeah, obviously he's going to get...
Yeah, a lot of companies seem to be coming down hard on people. I mean, Nintendo especially seems to be doing it. Because I heard about a charity... events where they chose a fighting game to play, and that was Super Smash Bros. Melee for the GameCube, and Nintendo turned around and said you can't do it, even though it was for charity.
Yeah, but then they turned back around and said, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I think they did, yeah.
Yeah.
I saw these, the Final Fantasy figures that the guy was doing, and they are really cool and on the 3D printer that he did, but it depends what you're doing with them. If he's just did them for his... like to have them for himself, then fine, but obviously if you're selling them, Square will take him to court.
They shut
him down. I was gonna buy one. I want Aeris. I want her. So, but I'm glad I didn't get attached. Cause I like, I want her so much. I'm gonna just sit and cry. I have you again. You will never die ever. So,
yeah, an independent t-shirt seller who make t-shirts based on video games.
Yeah.
And they did a Space Invader one. And it was based on Space Invader. It looked like a Space Invader, but wasn't a Space Invader, if you know what I mean. It wasn't actually an official Space Invader. It was a likeness of the Space Invader. But Tato took him to court and won. And, yeah.
Really? Wow. I was wondering how people do that, because I see people doing that with different shirts. I have a cafe press shop, which I never use. I paid for like 3 years and never got around to it, because that's why I went to college and wasted all my time. But I'm going to do something similar to that, but I knew better than to like take Mario and put him on a shirt, because this one girl, I forget, she was a friend of one of my other associates that I was talking about at the time, and she made like $20,000 in 1 month. And we're like, what? Oh, well, she got shut down. Like, what happened? Because she was taking Napoleon Dynamite pictures off the internet and throwing on shirts and selling them. And, I mean, they were selling hotcakes, too. Well, she got shut down. They didn't take her money or anything like that. They said, no, just shut it down now. And she shut down, and that was the end of that. So, yeah. I mean, that's why it's called copyright. You know?
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, but this wasn't even... you know what Space Invader looks like.
Yes.
Know what Space Invader looked like. This was... Yeah, I mean, it wasn't an official Space Invader, but you could just tell it was a Space Invader likeness.
It was influenced, yes, it was influenced by it, yeah.
Yeah, influenced, yeah, that's the right word, influenced by Space Invader. But, yeah, well, Tato took him to court, and they won. They can't use this image, even though it wasn't one of their images.
I hope it was copyrighted. That way he can sue them for trying to use his image, even though it's a likeness. And that's what I hate about that stuff. It's like, I can see certain things. I can see Nintendo, you know, if you use Link or the Triforce. Well, Triforce is just three triangles together, and if you put them together, it's not exactly the Triforce, you know. But, you know, if it's gold or, you know, yellow, okay, I can see that. But, you know, something like that, I don't think they should be able to have that kind of jurisdiction. That's not fair, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
well,
yeah.
Well,
so.
You do. Anyway.
Yep.
All right, cool. Then, well, thanks again, guys, and thanks again, Warren.
Thank you very much for inviting me. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no problem. Welcome anytime.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And for everyone else, thank you very much for listening. Until next time, we will see you later. Take care and good night.
Have a good one.
Cool. Bye. See you later, guys.
See you later, guys. Baby in the yard.